You know, when God created mothers, he gave them many roles to play in the life of their children. God made them caretakers, protectors, teachers, cooks, advisors, nurses, advocates, financiers. And I'm sure that that is not an exhaustive list. There are probably many other roles that moms play. You could probably come up with just as many as I did, if not more. Some of those roles are bigger depending on the age of the child. Of course, a caretaker and protector and nurse are big during their infancy and when they're toddlers and sort of diminish when they get older, but there are certain roles that hopefully last a lifetime. The role of teacher lasts a lifetime. The role of advisor lasts a lifetime. In some cases, the role of financier lasts a lifetime. But one of the things that mothers do for their children that certainly lasts a lifetime, that doesn't depend on geography, it doesn't depend on how far apart they live, it doesn't even depend on how close their relationship is. But one of the things that mothers do for a lifetime is pray for their children. And if you had a mom that prayed or prays for you today, and by the way, I think prayer still goes on in heaven. Prayer is asking God for something. And I think there's many, many moms in heaven this morning that are still praying for their children. They go to the Father and they get the ear of the Father and they pray for their children. So it lasts not only a lifetime, but maybe for an eternity, and at least until we all get to heaven. But I thank God, and you ought to thank God if you had a mom that knew how to pray and did that on your behalf. You need to thank God if you had a mom that knew how to get a hold of God and not let go until God responded to her prayer, and she did that on your behalf. And so this morning, I have a real simple message. I want to look at three moms in the Bible that prayed for their children. And I want us to look at their stories quickly and what it tells us and what it tells moms and what it tells us about our moms when it comes to this thought of praying moms, of praying moms. The first mom I want to look at is the one that we looked at in Sunday school, the mom named Hannah. She was a mother of Samuel, and we find her story in the first couple chapters of 1 Samuel. She was married to a man named Elkanah, and Elkanah had two wives. And as the Sunday school lesson pointed out, Hannah probably was his first wife, but because she could not have any children, he married a second wife and had children by the second wife. Year by year, Elkanah would take his family and they would go to worship God at the synagogue. And Hannah would use those occasions to pray, as I think she did every day, to pray for a child, and specifically for a male child, for a little boy. On one of those occasions when she was there, she prayed this prayer, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." Those of you that were here in Sunday school heard Brother Leonard talk about how Elkanah's other wife taunted Hannah and teased her and ridiculed her because she had no children. And that's the affliction she was talking about there in that verse. And she just prayed, "God, just hear my prayer. I would like a little male child, and if you give me a little male child, I will lend him back to you. I will give him back to you. He will be yours all the days of his life." Well, we that know the story know that God heard the prayer of Hannah. And a child was conceived. And 9 months later, a little boy was born that she named Samuel because God had heard her prayer. That child, when that child was weaned, they took him back to the house of God, and Hannah kept her promise to God. She gave him back to God. She lent him back to God. And as we read, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask him of. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." So Hannah prayed for a little boy. God answered that prayer and gave her Samuel. And God and Hannah gave that little boy back to God. Now here's what I want us to get out of Hannah's story. The story of a mother praying for a little child and God hearing that prayer and giving her that child. The truth is that every child is a gift from God. Every single one of them. Every little boy, every little girl. And again, when we look, we can go into the nursery and we can look into the faces of little babies that are in the nursery. And as we do, we need to remember and be reminded from Hannah's story that every child that's born is a gift from Almighty God in heaven. You see, there are no children born by accident. There are no children born outside of the will of God. Every child has a plan, is part of God's plan. Every child is a gift from God. And that's why we have no right to destroy that gift before that little baby takes its first breath. We have no right. An abortion is a sin that one day God will judge our nation. And I believe everybody that's participated from a doctor and a nurse standpoint, and I know they're trying to pass laws that say nurses and doctors can't live out their convictions and say no, or else they'll lose their funding and all that stuff, and we need to pray for them. But I believe that God will hold us accountable for every gift that we've destroyed before they've taken their first breath. And by the way, we have no right. Nobody has a right. Nobody has any right to abuse a little child. I want to tell you what. The times that I have the hardest remembering that I'm a Christian and that I ought to act like a Christian is when I hear about somebody that abuses a little child. Somebody that does something to them physically, or somebody that does something to them emotionally, or somebody that doesn't take care of them like God intends for us to take care of them. I forget that I'm a Christian. I'd like to take that person out behind the barn, Brother Clyde, and take the shovel to them. One day, God will judge those that abuse children. The Bible says He is their defender. And I don't know a person in this room. Some of you I know very, very well because we've been together a long time. Some of you I'm just getting to know. But I do not know of a person in this room that wouldn't agree with me and say, "Yes, preacher, every child is a gift from God. We have no right to take their life before they're born. We have no right in any sense to abuse them." But I want to share another thought with you that the Lord laid on my heart at the end of this week. When do we quit being a child given as a gift from God? Yeah, it's easy to go back in a nursery. I can look at my little grandson who's not a month old yet and say, "There's a gift from God. A gift from God." But you know what? I can go over here and look at Brother Harry, who's a little bit older than Arnie. Just a little bit. But you know what? Today, Harry is just as much a gift given by God than Arnie is back in the nursery. Brother Clinton today is just as much a gift from God That's the little ones back in the nursery and in the toddler room. Brother Bob today is just as much a gift from God as those little ones back in the nursery. You see, every single person here, I don't care how old you are even today a gift from God. And every one of us would rise up and put our fists up and defend with all that we are a little baby or a little toddler who somebody would try to do something against them or say something against them or treat them in a way that we don't think they should be treated. We'd rise up and we would defend them. But I will remind you this morning, we owe that same thing to every person sitting in this room. Doesn't matter that they're 6 weeks old, or if they're 60, or 70, or 80, or 90, or 100, or somewhere in between. Every single one of us are a gift from God. And we have no right. We have no right. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what the situation is. We have no right to abuse physically, mentally, emotionally, a gift given to us by God. No right. No right. In fact, just as much as we would rise up and defend a little baby or a little toddler against somebody trying to do them harm, so we ought to rise up when somebody tries to do Brother Harry or Brother Clint or Brother Bob and everybody else. We ought to rise up in their defense and say, no, 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 don't do that. They are a gift from God. A gift from God. And so we learn from Hannah's story in the Bible that every child is a gift from God. The second mother I would point out to you, we do not know her name. Her story is found in the book of Mark, chapter 7. One place in the Bible, it's a couple of the other Gospels as well. But let me read from Mark chapter 7 this morning. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Jesus, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, yet the dogs underneath the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Here's a mother. She had a demon. Her daughter was possessed by a demon. She heard about Jesus. She heard that Jesus had cast demons out of other people. And so she came and fell at his feet and said, dear Jesus, would you take care of my daughter? She has this evil spirit. Would you just cast it out of my daughter? I've heard you've done it for other people. I believe that you can do it for my daughter. Would you please, please, please cure my daughter and cast this demon out of her? This woman was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. All the Jews thought that Gentiles were dogs. And so Jesus said, now look, I can't take bread that was intended for children and give it to dogs. He was calling this lady a dog. He says, hey, what I have is not meant for you. It was meant for God. It was meant for the Jews. I cannot take what was meant for the Jews and give it to you, a Gentile. Where it's told in the other Gospels, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, just send this lady away. Tell her to leave. Tell her to get out of here. And when Jesus said, I can't take bread that was meant for the dogs and give it, I'm meant for children, give it to the dogs. This lady says, but Master, Even the dogs that are sitting underneath the table when the children are eating, and the children drop a little crumb, the dogs get to eat the crumb. I don't want a whole piece of bread. I don't want a half piece of bread. I just want one of the little crumbs that fall off the table. I just want a little crumb, because with a little crumb, you can cure my daughter. And Jesus looked at this lady and he said, oh, what great faith, what tenacity in prayer, what determination in prayer. A hopeless situation. And yet this mother, even though I called her a dog, even though I told her what I had was not intended for her, she said, please, 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 just a crumb. That's all I want. It's just a crumb. I don't need a whole piece of bread. I don't need a half. I just need a crumb. I learned from that story that regardless of what's going on in our children's life, regardless of the circumstances they are in, regardless of the things they may have done to disappoint us, regardless of how they've gotten off the track, and sometimes we think, oh, it's hopeless. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and God doesn't seem to answer. I don't think there's any hope for my child. I don't think there's anything anybody could do. I want you to remember this morning that there is nothing impossible with our God. And we need you to just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and say, God, I don't need a whole piece of bread. I just need a crumb. Just a crumb. And I'm not going to leave. This mother was determined. She was not going to leave Jesus until Jesus did something for her daughter. She grabbed a hold of him, not literally, but figuratively. She grabbed a hold of his robe and said, dear Jesus, I'm not letting go. I'm not leaving until you help my daughter. And I would encourage every mother, I don't care how hopeless the situation seems. I don't care what's gone on in the past. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. You grab a hold of him and you say, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go until you do something for my child, for my daughter, for my son. Applies to grandchildren as well. Until you do something for them, dear God, I'm not letting go until you do something for them. Oh, that we had moms that knew how to get a hold of God like that and not let go, and not let go. Until God said, okay, okay, because of your faith, because of your tenacity, because of your determination, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And then quickly, the last mother I would point out to you is the mother of James and John, the wife of Zebedee. In Matthew chapter 20, she comes to Jesus with her sons. Bible says, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what will thou? What do you want? What do you want? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons, James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, two of the apostles, the sons of thunder, as the Bible calls them, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Most people read this passage and they say, here's a mom that's seeking position and fame for her children. I read it a different way. Here's her mom. Here's a mom that wanted her children to be used in a big way in the kingdom of God. Here's a mom that wanted her children to be used in a mighty way by Jesus in sharing the gospel, in keeping people out of hell. James would be killed by Herod. John would be dipped in oil and survive that and then be exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And in answer to this mother's prayer, both of these men would be used in a mighty way in the kingdom of God. Let me say to the mothers here this morning, don't pray that your children will have an easy life. Don't pray that. Don't pray that, you know, they'll live in a big expensive house and drive big expensive cars and have millions and millions of dollars in the bank. Don't pray that. Pray that God would use them in His kingdom. Pray that God would use your children to go to the world and tell the world that they're sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Pray that God would use your children to tell the world that even though they're sinners and there's a penalty that for that sin, that Jesus loved them so much that He went to Calvary's cross, and on the cross He paid for every one of their sins. Pray that God would use your children to be a missionary, to be a pastor, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be something. Maybe just a faithful church member, but that would have a heart for other people. That would have a heart that would want to keep them out of the devil's hell. That would have a heart that would share the love of Jesus Christ with them. That would have a heart to share heaven with them. Because you see, we are all sinners. And there is a penalty for that sin. And that penalty is to be separated from God forever and ever. But God proved or commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took every one of my sins. He took every one of your sins. And He paid the price that we owed for that sin. And He offers to every single person this morning the gift of eternal life. Pray, moms, that your children would be used by God to share that message. Pray, moms, that God would use them in a mighty way to preach the gospel here and around the world. Pray, moms, that they would do something big in the kingdom of God. Because you see, doing something big in the kingdom of God, being faithful to God, serving God, sharing the gospel is far more important as to what kind of house they live in and what kind of car they drive and how much money they got in the bank. Because all those things one day are going to pass away. They're going to be, they'll return to the dust from which they are made. Only the things that are done for God will last. Don't pray for rewards for your children down here. Pray for rewards when they get to heaven. Pray that one day they will hear as they step across heaven's threshold, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And would to God we could say, "It's because of my mom. Because of my mom, she got me started in the right direction. And Jesus, don't give me the thanks. Give it to her. Give it to her." If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have a mom that's been praying for you and praying for you and praying for you, I can't think of a better way to honor her than to this morning admit you're a sinner and come and ask Jesus to save you. If you don't do it for your sake, do it for your mom's sake. Do it for your mom's sake. There is a hell, and people that don't know Jesus Christ will spend an eternity there. He paid the price for your sin. Would you ask Him to save you this morning? Now, maybe you're a Christian, and maybe you've gotten off track, and you got a mom that's praying for you. Been praying for you, praying for you, praying for you. Why not this morning? Why not this morning rededicate your life to the Lord and say, "Lord, I've been off track. I want to get back on track because I know my mom's praying for me. Would you do that this morning? If you're not saved, get saved. And if you are saved and you're off track, come and get back on track. And if you're saved and you're on track, then why don't you just take a few moments as we sing the invitation song and thank God for your mother. Thank God for her. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the stories of these three mothers that we looked at this morning. Help us to learn from them. Help us to remember that every child is a gift from you. Help us to remember that regardless of the situation, not to give up, but to keep on praying. And Father, help us pray that our kids will be used by you. I pray for somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that in the next few moments they would come and they would ask Jesus to save them. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to examine our lives. Draw us closer to our God. If there's things in our lives that shouldn't be there, help us to make some holy vows this morning to get rid of them. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.